Let's just have a word of prayer. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord Jesus. You are my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that's the name of this module tonight. And the overview is Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that, of course, was talking about Pentecost. Yeah, they were all in one accord. They were in that same place. And that was basically the start of Christianity. And that's when boldness got a hold of Peter. Because Peter, from that point on, started to talk. In Acts 2:14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all of you dwell at Jerusalem, be known unto you, and hearken my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But it is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel." And that was 2:28, starting at verse 2:28. "And it shall come unto pass that the last days with God, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show them wonders in heaven and above signs in the earth, beneath blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Now, it's talking about the strange phenomenon that happened above Israel. Israel, above Jerusalem, there was like a three-mile circumference of a circle of clouds. And there were clouds all over, but you could tell there was a white line going all the way around, right above Jerusalem. It was amazing. And in this inside were clouds. They were all over, but there were some clouds inside this ring, this three-mile ring. And right up above it were the trumpets. They were playing a song. I don't know what the song was, but they were playing. It was amazing. You could hear the trumpets playing. And I looked at the internet, and there's about four or five different people with their little cell phones just going, "Whoa, what's going on here?" It was amazing. And that happened on October 1st, 2016. And then a comet was traveling through a town in Siberia in the 2nd of 15th of 2013. There was a comet that came right through this city and right through, and all of a sudden it exploded. It was amazing. And you could see the bright light, and people were just amazed by it. And you could hear all the car alarms go off because there was the explosion, and then some of the windows shattered. But it was really amazing. And then, of course, the volcanoes. You know, there are at least just about 100 volcanoes that are erupting right now. Very small eruptions, but also large eruptions. And there's a lot, maybe anywhere from 200 to 300 just active volcanoes all over the world. There are all these active volcanoes. And in Acts 2:20 it says, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into the blood before that great and noble day, notable day of the Lord. You see, there was going to be a solar eclipse. There's a solar eclipse that just happened in August 21st this year. And you could see it in part of the United States. There was an actual darkness, and it just covered the whole sun, and there was a darkness. And of course, there were the four blood moons, each in the Jewish feast. Now, the Jewish Talmud, an important Jewish text, was used to identify the religious Jewish law, and the Moses' five books, known as the Torah, indicates that in case of a blood moon eclipse, which there was, the blood moons, there were four of them, red as blood, it is a sign of the sword, it's coming. Now, each one of those, each four of those blood moons happened in 2014 and 2015, all right? Now, there were four of them. One was in Passover, and then the next one was Sukkot, the Feast of Sukkot. That was 2014. Now, 2015 was the same thing. Passover and Sukkot. And in between those two, or those four, was another in March of 2015, was a solar eclipse, the same type that we just had on August 21st. Same type. And that means the sun turns into darkness is a sign of wrath coming to the world. In Acts 2:21 it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh man. I'm going to be one of those, that's for sure. After all of that, for sure. You see, when Pastor Joshua started the series on the book of Revelation, I tell you the truth, I wasn't that excited about it. I wasn't. It was okay, but it was, to me, it was just another book. But as the Revelation knowledge fell on Pastor Joshua, I started to take notice. Knowing what might be in it for me, in store for me, I began to get excited. Wow. You see, most Christians are very fearful of the end times. Most Christians are. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God had not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Most Christians have that attitude of, beam me out of here, Scotty. I want to get out. Hey, I think that's what most Christians want to be. They just don't want to be here during those times. And to face that. You see, we need to change our attitude and perspective about God's Word. You see, in Philippians 2:5, it says, the attitude you should have is the one that Jesus Christ had. We have power and dominion over all these things. We have that. We have that power and dominion. Why? Because Jesus Christ now lives in us. We have that power. In Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's right, nothing. If you're in with Jesus Christ and He is your Savior, nothing by any means shall hurt you. See, His Word is everything. We need that for life and godliness. See, 2 Peter 1:3 says, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who is called by us glory and virtue. You see, we need the change. our attitudes on witnessing for Jesus. We need to witness for Jesus. Be willing to tell others about Jesus. We need to be willing to tell others. We shouldn't just have an attitude of, well, when I get around to it, I will. No. It should be a priority with us. And we should have a sense of urgency about spreading the word of Jesus Christ. People need to know how loving he is. In John 8, 10 and 11, it says, when Jesus has raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He had that forgiving love. Love that you need. Love that you wish. Wow. So much love that he had for people. And he was willing to tell that to that woman, that adulteress. Go and sin no more. And that's what it was. And to know how loving he is and how kind he is, and that he's that loving father you never had. In John 16:27, it says, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have loved and have believed that I came forth from God. For he's that friend that you never had, that you can tell him anything. And why am I telling you all of this? I'm telling you all this because Pastor Joshua said, you know, Christianity started in a home, and it's going to end in a home. And believe it or not, we are in the end time. And right now, I just find it in my heart, the Lord has just told me to tell everyone that they needed to start repenting. Repent, renounce, and break all of those ties that are connected to you and all of that stuff. And have the Holy Spirit fall afresh on you after you do that. So he knows where your heart is. You see, many people will want to know the Lord. And it's my belief. That's my belief. There'll be an end time harvest that will happen that'll be beyond anything that we could ever imagine. An end time harvest of people wanting to know the Lord. If you're having a hard time with this, ask the Lord to change your heart. He'll do it. Especially when he knows you're serious about that you want to change your heart, that you want it changed. You know, I did that. Yeah, change my heart, Lord. And he did it. He's not a respecter of persons. This is in Acts 10:34, which we had today, which earlier it said that Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. As in Acts in the beginning, many believers were coming together. It'll be the same in the end times. Many will come because they hunger and thirst for the move of the Holy Spirit. They want to know that. They're going to want to know. In Acts 4:4 it says, but many who heard the message believed, and a number grew to about 5,000. There was this atheist, and he was a scientist. And he had an attitude. And he would fight with all the Christians. But he was a very good scientist. And he knew all about everything. He just knew. He just knew it. But he was getting really bored with life because everything that he did was excellent. But he was so bored. He was so bored with life. And one day, he got invited to a party. He thought, oh, okay, great. I'll go to this party. And so he went to this party, and all of a sudden he started getting these stomach pains, and really bad stomach pains, to the point where they were so bad that he had to have an ambulance come and take him to the hospital. They took him to the hospital, they ran tests on him, and he knew when they told him what the diagnosis was. It was an incurable disease that he had. And he just goes, oh my God. Oh my God. And he was an atheist, and he just said, he swore up and down, he didn't like Christians. But there was one Christian man, and I'm going to call him Roger. And this guy, Roger, was really a nice guy, and he really respected Roger, because Roger would tell him like it is. He would tell him like it is, and he would witness to him and try and witness and try all kinds of things, but this guy wouldn't budge. So finally, he says, he started thinking about this guy named Roger, and he says, you know what? I have to call Roger, because I know there's no cure for this, what I have. There's no cure for it. And so he said, I'm going to have this guy witness to me. So he had the people call this guy up, and it turned out that this guy was out of the state. Well, anyway, somehow they found out where this guy was, and they made a call, and they said, your friend is dying. He needs you. And so this guy says, I'll be there in the morning. Well, that guy, that atheist, said that was the longest night he ever spent. Because he knew that if he had died that night, that was it. That was it. And so he fought to stay awake. He fought. And all of a sudden, he would just kind of doze off. And all of a sudden, he said there was a blackness. It was really dark. He says, and I got scared. And all of a sudden, I just woke up. I just had a woke up in a cold sweat. He said, I just could not stand it. I couldn't stand it. So finally, after all these hours and stuff, and of waiting, it was morning time. His friend came in the room and witnessed to him. And his friend brought him to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. He finally went to Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, he said he started feeling better. Things started to get better, and after about a month, he said he was cured. He was cured. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That was the atheist scientist. And then there was a testimony about a doctor. This doctor was in basically the same boat, because this doctor was perfect. I mean, he was nice looking, he had a nice wife, he had kids, he had this beautiful home, car. He was his own man. He went to school, became the best of the best. He was perfect. And people said, wow, this guy is just awesome. But there's one thing he had. There was a few number of things that there were problems with. He had a problem with anger. He had a problem with impatience. He had this problem. He could not be satisfied because he knew He knew deep down he couldn't be satisfied. And he was an atheist also. But he knew. At the same time, well, as he was going through this, his wife started to be witnessed to, and she finally became a Christian, and she started praying to God about him. Well, it was about this time, and she was praying to God, that he thought, boy, these Christians, these neighbors that I have, boy, they're something else. He says, they won't even talk to me. Of course, they never interviewed the Christian neighbors, because he knew everything. But anyway, he said, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna start reading the Bible. I'm gonna start witnessing to these Christians and tell them what they're doing wrong. Because I'll tell them, I'll show them. Well, he started reading the Bible. That was the first mistake. He started reading the Bible, and more, and he put off talking to these Christian neighbors. And he started to be witnessed to and convicted. And it got to a point where he actually got on his knees and he asked Jesus into his heart. Praise God. He asked Jesus into his heart. And then he said the next day, he says, I felt great. I felt so good. It was like, wow, like a new person. And his wife kind of looked at him and goes, who is this guy? You know, just because of that. And pretty soon one of the Christians said, you know what? There's this, what they call the fruit of the Spirit. And he goes, and he looked it up in Galatians 5:22-23. And he looked it up and he goes, wow, that's what I have. I have the love of God. I have the joy of Jesus. I have peace in my heart. I have that patience and gentleness and goodness. I have that faith, that humility. I have all of that. Self-control. I have all of that now. And so now he's just a loving, kind person who loves people and wants to tell them about Jesus. He can't wait to tell them about Jesus. Amen. So that was about the doctor, the perfect doctor. Oh, wow, just amazing. And then there's the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. And it talks about the healing testimonies. There was this guy, his name was Mike, and he had this chest growth on him. And it was annoying, and pretty soon, after a year, his wife said, you ought to get that checked out by a doctor. You need to get it checked out by a doctor. And he goes, oh, okay, I'll do that. So he gets it checked out, and the doctor, he started to look at it and run a scan, and all of a sudden he goes, you need to have surgery right away. And he goes, wow, surgery. Well, I can't remember what happened, but it was 5 years later. 5 years later after this. And he said, the energy was just drained from me. And I would just try and focus, and I couldn't focus. I had to quit my job, and all of that. And it says, he was one of these guys that he was a Christian, and he believed God had healed him, but he believed in works. He had to do something. He had to do something. And he didn't know what to do. Well, anyway, he finally got the word. And the Lord told him, he says, you have my grace. It's already been done. When he finally realized what had happened, and he started to realize the Word of God, and he started to to read the Word of God and to profess it. It wasn't until then that he started to understand that grace and that healing anointing of God. And so he relaxed, received the healing of Jesus, and it wasn't before long he was healed. He was healed of this chest situation that he had. He was actually healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh. You know, but still, many people are really turned off to God. You see, in Acts 4:11, it says, "And this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Wow. You see, the stone which was rejected by you builders. See, Jesus had no form, no desire for him. He had no beauty, no attractiveness. He was despised and rejected by men. Yet, Jesus saved us all from our sins, from our iniquity. It was by his stripes that we were healed. Amen? We are healed by his stripes. Jesus is our everything. He is our salvation. He died on a cross that we might live. In 1 Corinthians 13, I was reading a little pamphlet, and I think it said, I'll talk about love all this week, and I was reading all this week about love. And the final title was today, I think it was love, something like Love Conquers All. Love Conquers All. Wow. It's about his love. His love that he has for you and me. It's his love that we desire. It's his love. So, the Lord laid it on my heart that we need to start professing Jesus. Joshua said, okay, here's the book of Revelation. Here it is. We need to read it. Because the end times is here. The end times are here. And we need Jesus Christ. Jesus is everything to us. Jesus is everything. That's my message tonight. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.